Welcome to this podcast from Christchurch Blackpool. For more information, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.
So for some of you guys, we've got a short gospel presentation. So for some of you guys, this is going to be the boring bit in between the fish and chips or the boring bit before the buffet. But I'm hoping that you will get something out of this today. The scripture that I've chosen, what we're looking at, is from Mark chapter 10. And it's the little children and Jesus. And you've probably heard it if you've been to a dedication before. It's actually quite a safe scripture. And you can use it as part of the ceremony, but I chose not to today. And hopefully the reason why will become apparent. But I'm just going to read it to you anyway. Mark 10, 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them like we did today. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. And I think this is a really good scripture that people roll out at dedications. But I think there's a danger of using this scripture. And the danger is that what we're actually saying when we read this is that you don't actually need to know very much to know Jesus. You don't need an A-level in theology. You don't need any formal qualifications to come to Jesus and to recognize Jesus and to know Jesus. You don't really need to know very much. You just need a simple faith. Kids are simple. This is what we're saying. Kids are simple. Kids don't understand very much. And you don't need to understand very much to come to Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is for people who don't understand science. We've got science which explains everything, lots of things. And then religion is for those people who are a little bit simple and childlike in their intellectual understanding of things. And they need this crutch to lean on. Yeah? And Jesus kind of reinforces this in himself anyway, because Jesus' disciples, the people Jesus hung around with, they were fishermen, they were carpenters, they'd missed the college education. And you almost, when you read this, what the insinuation is almost, you're almost saying that you don't need to know much. Kids are stupid. Thankfully, you know, I'm thankful. You know, I'm stupid. Yes, Jesus is for me. If that is what we think this scripture is talking about, then we are so, so wrong. And if you ever hear anybody at a dedication tell you that this means you don't need to understand much to come to Jesus, you have got permission to facepalm. Yeah, that is not what this scripture is saying at all. I've got a really good friend, well, we've got a really good friend, Nicola and I, called Andy Coram, and he was at our old church, Bonham Family Church, he's now in Kendal. And he dedicated his life to working with kids work, every week. You talk about doing a lot on a rota. This guy was on the kids work rota, week in, week out. 20, 25 years, I think he served our children. And he used to run a summer camp as well in his spare time called Bonsall, and these kids would go there. Andy Coram once told me, quite often, we give adults far too much credit in terms of what we think they understand. And we don't give children anywhere near enough. Kids have got an amazing capacity for understanding. Kids have got an amazing capacity for complexity. You ask any teacher, children are bright. And if that is what, if we are taking that from the scripture, that if we're taking that kind of thinking that kids are dumb, you don't really need to understand very much, then we are way, way off the mark. Now, the context of this discussion, these children being rebuked for, the context of this is in Mark 10. And Jesus is being quizzed by the Pharisees about divorce. It's a very deep and theological discussion. about the legality of divorce. And the Pharisees have come to Jesus and they're saying to Jesus, is it okay to get divorced? And the Pharisees say to Jesus, Moses said it was okay. What do you say? What do you say about this? And they're doing this to try and trick him, they're trying to trap him. The conclusion of the discussion was, Jesus says, it might be legal, but it's not okay. It might be legal, but actually it's not okay. And what Jesus says to these Pharisees is, Moses gave you this law because your hearts were hard. Moses gave you this law because your hearts were hard. And then he's trying to parallel that with these children. But these children, the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And he's trying to draw a parallel between the hard, stony-faced, legalistic Pharisees who say, this is what the law says, with these beautiful, childlike, innocent, soft-hearted children. And for some of us, our whole life has been a journey away from God, with our hearts getting colder and harder every passing day for some of us. That's a picture of us growing up. Our hearts are getting harder and colder. The main point of this scripture is that it is not a matter for the mind. It's not a matter of the intellect. The kingdom of God is all about what's going on in our heart. And as I said, for some of us, we've been running away from God for so long that we would not recognize God if we were standing face to face with him. We wouldn't recognize God if we were stood face to face with him. In Salford, we would say something like, you wouldn't know the truth if it bit you on the backside. Yeah, that's the kind of interpretation. You wouldn't know this if it bit you on the backside. Yeah, some of us have been running away from God for so long that we wouldn't know if he bit us on the backside. That is true. And in thinking about this, I was thinking about this really good story towards the end of the Gospels. And it's a story of Jesus before Pontius Pilate. And it goes like this. Pontius Pilate is stood face to face with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the person who has risen people from the dead. He's done all these amazing things. And Pontius Pilate asks him a question. Are you the king of the Jews? And that's what all this fuss is about. Are you the king of the Jews? So Jesus says, what do you think, mate? So Pilate says, I don't care. I'm not a Jew. I'm just asking you a question. And then Jesus says to him, I'll tell you what. I am a king, but I'm from another place. And I came here to testify to the truth. And this is the line that really got me. Pilate says, staring Jesus in the face, what is truth? And walks away. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? You wouldn't know truth if you were staring in the face. Now, when you read this account of the crucifixion, Pontius Pilate isn't actually a bad guy. He doesn't actually want to crucify Jesus. He goes back to the crowd more than once. He says, I don't find any charge in this man that's worthy of death. I can't think of any reason why we need to kill this guy. And he goes, no. He comes back to them again. Do you want us to release Barabbas? Or do you want us to release Jesus? We can release a prisoner to you today. No. Crucify Jesus. Crucify Jesus. And then Pontius Pilate says this amazing thing. He says, do you know what? I wash my hands of this man's blood. I am not guilty of this man's blood. Do you know what? He was. He might think he wasn't, but he was. And we all are, in some respects. We are all, well, not in some respects, you know, in actual, we are. We just are. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everyone, we've all sinned. It's no good saying, I'm not guilty of this man's death. We are. We all are. Every one of us. Mother Teresa, she was. We all are. The best person you can think of, yes. So the Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But then the Bible goes on, and the Bible goes on to explain that the wages of sin is death. isn't that heavy for a baby dedication? Chill out, man. You're not coming for a dedication here. You're telling you're all going to die. The wages of sin is death. Yes. God is not pleased. And, but I'd like to say that the term, the wages of sin are death, this is not God punishing us. Some respects it is, but in other respects, it's just getting what we deserve. Our wages are what we have earned. What we have earned for ourselves, God is just giving it to us. It's justice. The wages of sin is death. But then we get this wonderful promise. There's a but in that scripture. It says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. Because Jesus took that death upon himself, we can be reconciled to God for eternity. I do not know, I have not got a clue, as a grown-up, supposedly intellectual person, I have not got a clue why God would choose to send Jesus at that time to die a death he didn't deserve so that I can have life and know him. I've been a Christian 13, 14, 15 years, I can't remember. I still don't know. I can't understand it sometimes. But I heard a really helpful illustration that helped me to understand at least a part of it. And it's a story about two guys, the best mates at primary school. They live on the same street, but those down from each other. Best mates, they go to the same primary school together, they go to the same high school, they go to the same college, and then at university, they both go their separate ways. Now, one of these guys ends up going to law school and becoming a top judge, really good judge. The other guy at university goes off the rails, gets involved in drinking, drugs, dealing, and he gets in loads of trouble. His life just completely goes off the rails. Anyway, one day, the judge is stood in court, like 20, 25 years later, the judge is stood in court, and the defendant walks in, and he says, mate, he's not seen this guy for 25 years, and he comes in as the accused. And the judge, in his love for his friend, he's just getting emotional. His heart's breaking. He's trying not to show the emotion, but he sees his friend walking in, and he just thinks, oh, no. His heart is full of love and compassion. He's excited to see his friend again, but he knows, as judge, he's got a job to do. He's got a job to do. Can't just let this guy off. His heart is, we want to let this guy. What can I do? I've got a job to do as a judge. Justice must be done. This guy, I love him. My best mate throughout life, man. We've laughed and cried together. You know, he's there for me through all my hard times. So, the guy's been done for high-profile theft. Thousands and thousands of pounds worth. So what the judge does is he says, right, you are found guilty of stealing this amount of money. I am going to sentence you to the maximum fine that I'm supposed to give you for this offence. It was something like 20 or 30 pounds or something. And then the judge takes off his wig, puts down his hammer, and comes and he stands in the dock with his friend, and he puts his arm around his friend and he writes him a cheque for the full amount. There you go, mate. Justice is done. The judge has done his job, so justice is done. But also, love and mercy is shown to his friend. That's just a picture, a little picture of what Christians believe Jesus' death accomplished on the cross. That's just a little picture, and it helps me to understand it. And we call that, as Christians, the divine exchange. But there's a point in this story, it's not quite complete. That divine exchange doesn't just happen. It starts when people, as human beings, we say sorry to God. And that journey we've been on, away from God all our lives, we do a U-turn. Christians call that repentance. When you repent, you do a complete U-turn. And you start coming back to God. So you repent and you say, God, I'm sorry. And you start coming back to God. And then that exchange happens. There's a story in Matthew 11 that I just want to read, because it landed nicely with what we're saying. Matthew 11.
I'm going to start at 20, then jump into 25. So, basically, Jesus, just thinking about this idea of repentance and turning back to God, and saying sorry to God. So Jesus says, it's called woe on unrepentant towns. There's some places in that. There's some places in Jerusalem. There's some places that are in big trouble. Jesus says, he says, then Jesus began to denounce the towns in which most of his miracles are being performed because they did not repent. And then he starts to list them. So Jesus being in these towns, he's done these amazing things, but he didn't turn people's hearts back to God. And Jesus says, you guys are in some trouble. You guys are in some trouble. But then 25 it says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things are being committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal them. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, humble, and calm, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Just want to finish it there, really. You know, you might have thought today, some of you may have walked with the Lord for many years, you may know Jesus, some of you may not. You might have thought you was coming to baby dedication, and you have been. But actually, there's a fantastic opportunity here today. If you do not know Jesus, if you can relate to your life being a journey away from God, if your heart has become hard and cold and callous, and you're feeling the weight of the world, Jesus says to you today, come to me. This is not something for children. This is not something for weak people who don't know any better. This is for you. Jesus says, come to you, come to me, all those who are weary and burdened. If you're carrying burdens today, you might have thought you were coming to go through emotion and eat fish and chips afterwards. But I really want to encourage you, as we finish with the song, I really want to encourage you to do business with God. Whatever you feel comfortable with, hold out your hands. Just ask God in. Just say, God, you know what? I feel that. I have been running away from you. I have got a hard heart. I am feeling the weight of the world on my shoulders. And just give it to Jesus today. It's an absolutely wonderful opportunity to do so. So I'm going to pray and then ask him to lead in a song of response. Yeah, Jesus, I thank you that you have hidden these things from wise and educated and learned people, but you've revealed your Son to us, Lord, that we don't need to. It's not a matter for the mind, God, it's a matter for the heart, God. And I pray you would touch our hearts today, that we would go out this place, God, knowing you more, or even one step closer to you today. I pray, God, for our hearts, God, help us to turn our hearts back to you, and help us to take those steps of repentance back to you, Lord, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, downloads and podcasts, please visit ccblackpool.co.uk.